Derek Ains Show. Today we are doing this show. It's made possible by Image Matters and Image Matters, Inc.
And so joining us from Image Matters is somebody who else knows a lot about quarterbacks. At least his son played a lot of great quarterback. And that's Scott. Right. Scott, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good morning. I also stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
So. Yeah, so there you go. Genius. He's a genius.
No, but we always talk to you a lot about football when we have you on. You're going to play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia with us coming up here in a few minutes. But, you know, we're through a couple of weeks of Tennessee football. What have you seen so far that you like?
Well, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm realistic. I think this is a 2 to 3 year rebuild. I see more positives than negatives. So, you know, the big thing I see when I watch it is it seems like they're playing four quarters of football, which we haven't necessarily seen on a consistent basis in a long time. You know, it's kind of one of those that we're, even when we're down, I still feel that we're in it and that the players believe that we're still in it. And I think that's important when you're trying to turn things around. So I've seen many more positives than negatives.
You know, I see some like mistakes. The glaring ones are Milton missing deep balls, but they're making mistakes, but they also seem to be correcting them. And football, man, you play 60 snaps, there's going to be 30 things for you to do better. And I feel like they're at least hitting that the right way. So that's good too.
I totally agree. You know, it's, you know, there's things to fix and players to recruit to get to the depth. I think that you need to consistently compete at a SEC level. But so far, everything I've seen, I think they can get there.
All right. You guys at Image Matters have everything ready to go for people, whether they're back in the office or whether they're working from home or whether it's a hybrid. Some of your employees are in the office. Some of them are working from home. I know you guys have a little of that going on. We have a little of that going on. What do you have from an expertise standpoint for all of these different situations?
Well, you know, we've got, you know, just like you said, we've got a very fluid customer base. So we, on a day-to-day basis, deal with all those type of customers, like you said. So we've had experience whether you're working at home or, you know, you're an enterprise or you're a small business. We're very versed in how to help you do your business better, improve your printing and scanning type workflow solutions, but most importantly, save money. And I think that's the big thing that we can do from a consultative standpoint is we really help our customers find ways to do things better and less expensively. Most people don't understand printers and scanners beyond how they use them. That's what we do every single day. So we have the ability to help, whether you're a one-person shop or an enterprise, that's exactly what we do, and we do it well and back it with excellent customer service.
All right, Scott, more on Image Matters coming up in a second, but right now we cue the banjos because it's time to play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's brought to you by Smoky Mountain Axe House, smaxes.com to book online. Scott, I have to warn you, I did an all-Florida edition on Tuesday. Today, it is Florida, Alabama, or other.
Mm.
Florida,
okay.
Alabama, or other. Would you like to pick first or last?
You know, I'll go first.
I like your style, A-Cup. I like it.
He's going first. All right. Florida, Alabama, or other. Drunk man poops in grocery store freezer right on the pizza rolls. Drunk man poops in a grocery store freezer right on the pizza rolls. I'm giving you the best one right out of the gate, Scott.
I'll go with Florida.
Yeah. Feces and poop normally do involve Florida. This is weird to me. I thought the only like freezers you had access to were fridges were like beer fridges.
No, like you walk into the
freezer section.
Yeah, freezer section. It's a grocery store, not a convenience store.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still going to go other on this one. I don't care how much you drink. You ought to know that you can't poop inside a grocery store.
Logan?
I'll go Alabama.
This state is greatly underrated when it comes to these stories.
West Virginia.
This happened in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Apparently, he's more of a Hot Pocket fan. Officers in Oklahoma City are searching for a man who went to a grocery store on Sunday and pooped in one of the freezers on Totino's pizza rolls.
I'd rather poop in a freezer than like a super hot room.
Worst part is a customer found it. Woman was shopping with her kids. She opened the freezer to grab pizza rolls and ultimately chose the wrong pack.
Oh, That's a fist fight. I'm sorry. That something's happening.
She says she washed her hands and used bleach to disinfect him, but and her kids were struggling on the way home. The grocery store checked their security footage, and the man was also walking around taking photos of women with his phone.
Classic drunk guy who poops in the store.
Police are now looking for him.
Classic.
Covered all the bases.
Yeah. All in one pick. Are we done? You got two more.
I know what he covered him in. Number two. Man stabs his coworker with a pen for telling him to work harder. If they're using Image Matters, they don't have to be told to work harder. They're already working harder. But Scott, which state was this?
I'm going to go with other on that one.
I feel like that's a strong bet. You know, I don't know that we have a pen stabbing situation enough. You know, I don't necessarily like, you know, pen play. You know, we always talk gun play, you know, with Georgia or Florida usually. But, I mean, at least, you know, being resourceful is important in life. And so he was resourceful. I'm going to go being resourceful. I'm going to say other, and I'm going to say West Coast.
Logan?
Big pin stabbing area.
I'm going to go Florida. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past the three of us to have this happen right here on the show.
I'd stab you, but I'd take the little pin part out, so it would just be the dull part.
Okay, so
I'd make it hurt worse. Okay.
I stabbed a friend in high school with a pen because he was being a jerk.
Some guy stabbed me with a pencil, but it was a mechanical pencil, and I was in second grade, and I laughed at him. I was like, idiot!
This was more of a puncture wound, but we're all still friends now. This happened in Pennsylvania. Well, Scott nailed it. At a Five Guys location in Pennsylvania. Well, it almost became Four Guys the other day. 51-year-old Anthony Tolles was working a shift at Five Guys in Altoona, Pennsylvania. One of his coworkers accused him of not working hard enough, so Anthony responded by grabbing a pen and stabbing him in the head.
In the head?
They were arguing before it happened, and then they took it outside of the parking lot. That's where Anthony threatened to kill the other man and grabbed a pen from his sock. Apparently, it's prison shit.
Wow. Jeez.
The coworker ended up with a gash on the side of his head. He's going to be okay. Anthony was arrested, facing charges for felony aggravated assault and attempt to cause serious bodily injury.
At Five Guys?
At Five Guys.
I like Five Guys.
Okay. It's okay. Side note,
I like it. I like anywhere that does the vinegar and the french fry thing.
Okay.
You don't like
that? I'm gonna pretend that we didn't talk about vinegar being a thing with french fries. All right, last one.
Love it.
Last one.
Love it.
Stab him with a pen in a minute. Yeah,
we'll get him. Don't worry, we'll get him.
Scott, this is what I deal with every day. Every day. This is why we're doing this remotely and you're not having us in your conference room.
Serenity now.
There you go.
Last one. Drunk woman crashed into her husband's car while picking him up from his own DUI crash. Drunk woman crashed into her husband's car while picking him up from his own DUI crash. This happened in Florida, Alabama, or other.
Now, that definitely has a southern feel to it. You know, I'm going to go with Alabama on that one.
Was she like on a lawnmower or was like another vehicle?
They were in their cars. God help their insurance agent.
This one's tough because part of me thinks that I need to go other because the first two have been other. I also, like Scott, could absolutely see this being in Alabama. It's going to be somewhere small. So this is a small town somewhere. I am going to say other. Small town, other.
Logan?
I'll say Florida. I'm 0 for 2, so what the heck?
You already lost today.
This happened in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, it did.
A couple in southern Indiana didn't get the memo about the dangers of drinking and driving. According to Indiana State Police, 56-year-old Donald Ricketts was driving drunk on Monday night when he crossed the center line and struck a tractor trailer.
That's
thankfully
a bad one.
The other driver wasn't hurt. After the crash, Donald called his wife and asked her to pick him up. So 55-year-old Cheryl Ricketts hopped into another car and headed his way. When she got to the scene, she crashed into his car, which was still in the middle of the road. She was also drunk. Both cars were totaled. Both went to jail because Donald was found to have a blood alcohol level of 0.28.
Yikes.
Cheryl was at 0.22.
Oh, she lost.
So they were both three times the legal limit.
And both went to jail.
Where they probably
couldn't bail each other out.
There's nothing to do up there in Indiana, though, so you might as well drink.
No, I know just several.
I
know
stay
several
home
people.
Dry,
no, but like, if you live in Indiana and you don't live in one of the few big cities, the big cities in Indiana are actually pretty fun. Yeah. If you're like out there a little bit in Indiana,
so stay home. Just stay home when you're having a few.
Ride a bike.
No matter what, that's a bad night.
Yeah, it was a bad night. Scott, you want to make sure that your customers have the best possible experience with Image Matters. If they want to connect with you, what is the best way to do that right now?
You know, you can either give us a call at 865-212-3600 or just go to our website. Lots of information on the website as well as a contact button. Just give us a call. We're excited to work with anybody. We're a local company, so just give us a ring. Let's see what we can do for you.
Scott, we always appreciate it. We appreciate the support of Image Matters for Game Day All Day and for our show since we started. Look forward to catching up with you again very, very soon.
It's a pleasure. Go Vols.
Thanks,
Go Vols.
Scott.
That's Scott Acuff with Image Matters joining us. Play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. And Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, of course, presented each Thursday by our friends at the Smoky Mountain Axe House. They have a booth set up at the fair.
Fun.
SMAxes.com.
Yeah, Turner's been wearing me out. It's just life is hard week on, week off, but I have to take him axe throwing here very soon. Probably this weekend.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Book online, SMAxes.com.
Too bad Ramsey'd probably be the best at all of them.
She probably would be.
She's got a cannon, dude. She threw her bottle the other day, and she threw it from the couch past the TV. 15 or 20 feet.
Really?
I was really proud of her, yeah. I had to clean up all the... There was milk everywhere, but like I didn't even care.
I was proud of her, but I didn't care.
I was like, great throw. Let's not do that again, but whoa.
You think Harrison Bailey could throw it that far?
We have to get a break now. We'll be back 656-9900. Upset of the week coming up at 11:30. More of the Eric Cage Show on the other side.
Hey, man. Here, got a quick...
What's up?
Were you practice player when you were in school?
I was not a great practice player my first 2 years in school. And when David Cutcliffe came, I always had that kind of gamer attitude mentality because I always played three sports in high school, so I was not a practice all the time guy. I'd be doing other stuff, playing the other sports, and that was fine when I was competing against a freshman. And then it became an issue for me as a sophomore because the guy I was competing with, Rick, was a great practice player and he was much smarter. And then the next year when Cut came, I developed the understanding that I really wanted to. He got me excited on learning football and being like an X's and O's geek. And when that happened, I became a very good practice player. So kind of up and down, I guess.
Well, and the reason why I asked this is that I know you were talking about Dobbs, and you're talking about Milton, you're talking about Bailey, you're talking about Hooker. Maybe I was the exception, but I was a very good practice player, but I played better in games than I did in practice. And that just constituted, you know, into my success as a player. But my question is that I like Hooker. I like Hooker a lot. And I guess the reason why I called is that do you think that Hooker's the answer?
I think right now you have a starting quarterback and your backup quarterback who have both shown that their ceiling can be very high. And there's definitely a couple things that each of them need to work on, but I think it's pretty clear and has been clear that it's going to be Milton or Hooker right now. Milton better hit a deep ball or he's going to get pulled. Hooker can't turn the ball over. He's going to get pulled. But neither one of them has played so good that it's a no-brainer that one of them should be playing. There's not a ton of separation. But neither Milton or Hooker have played so bad that you can't rationalize putting them back out there. That's the issue that you're in right now. That's why I said Milton will get through September, because how he plays against Florida and whether or not he can complete balls down the field and stuff like that, if he can't, you won't see him play in October and November. But when you're the third stringer, when you're a backup, it's really hard to be the one that actually gets on the field until they show in the game that they can't do it. And I know there's people listening right now, Randall, that probably say, well, I've already seen what I need to see from Milton. He can't do it, or Hooker, he can or can't do it. I don't think I view it that way. I think there's two guys that I think could make this team pretty dynamic on offense, and they both have a couple things to work on, and they will determine whether they're the player or not. I mean, we always get on the coaches for like making decisions like this. Once you're the starter, you earn the job. It's your job until you unearn it. And if you're the number two guy, you get to go in. And then it's your job until you unearn it. And then if you're the third string guy and there are no other options and you know what you got with the first and second guy, Milton and Hooker, and they're not that great, then you go, well, at least we don't know what we got with Bailey. Put him out there. But until those two guys lose the job, they'll be the ones that play. And that's how it is literally everywhere.
Well, and I totally agree, Eric. I mean, I totally agree. But, you know, and I don't have an agenda. I don't have a horse in the race.
Neither do we.
I just want to see Harrison get his chance. I mean, I really do. I don't know.
No, I mean, the third string guy never plays if the first and second string guy are good enough. And I think that they've shown that there's some things they need to work on. But you're going to give him a chance to figure it out. I'm playing. If Milton's healthy, I'm going to play him against Florida, and we're going to dial some up, and we will have guys open. And if he overthrows them on deep balls, then I would be the first one. I bet Heupel will be the first one that sends Hooker in there and says, Joe, I'm sorry, son. I cannot rationalize putting you out there right now. You are continuing to miss him. And I'm sorry that you can't figure that out, but there's no coaching. There's no teaching tool. Put a little more air under it. You can either hit him or you can't. And right now, I thought Milton did a great job going into the last game as far as understanding and progressions and decisive in the run game and all that kind of stuff. But he misses three deep balls, and I'm like everybody else. I don't even care about any of the other stuff he did. When you miss those, that is the ding, ding, ding on the front page. It's not Milton got better at reading the defense. Milton was more decisive in running the ball. It is Milton overthrows three more deep balls that would have been gimme touchdowns. And that is just the world we live in. It's fair because it's that way everywhere. And Hooker comes in, takes him a couple series to get his feet wet and get back in the groove. I totally get that. And I thought he played pretty tough. He played a pretty good game. He can't turn the ball over, though. Like, Milton doesn't turn it over. He just misses opportunities. You know, you got, well, the fumble when he got hurt, but that happens when you get injured.
I want to revisit, and Randall, we appreciate the phone call. I want to revisit an informed opinion that I had back in the preseason, which was, if this coaching staff was in its third year and it had to make a bowl game this year to determine their future, then they would start Hendon Hooker. Because he is the steadiest. He also does not have nearly the upside of the other two guys in the room. But if you had to go and win six games this year, he would probably be the guy. They are in their first year. Josh Heupel is trying to remake this program in his image. If he thinks somebody out there has a bigger ceiling that allows him to make the splash, he has the equity to do it right now because he's in the first year of his deal. So I think he has taken that and said, all right, I can win six games with Hendon Hooker. I think I can win seven or eight with Joe Milton. And that's why Joe Milton's the quarterback. If Joe Milton continues to demonstrate that his ceiling may be real high, but he can't go win football games, he's not going to be the guy. I'm with you by the end of this month.
Yeah.
But I think they still believe he can.
I believe he can. I absolutely believe the only Joe Milton problem right now is Joe Milton. He's got to figure out how to get over that little yip he's got throwing the deep balls, put some air underneath it. And if he hits a couple, then you have the upside of the runner, the throwing all the underneath stuff. He's hitting deep balls. He's immediately a very, very, very good football player. Imagine if he just hit half of them against Bowling Green and half of them against
then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
He threw for 300 yards,
two or three touchdowns. We'd be talking about how great of a quarterback he is.
Yes.
But we're not. All right, we'll come back. Upset of the Week's coming up on the other side. Our buddy Tyler Wyatt will join us to tell us how smart or dumb we are with these picks. That's next on the Eric Haines Show.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Major League Baseball scores from last night. The Braves fell to the Rockies 3-2 in extra innings. The Phillies took down the Cubs 6-5. The Reds fell to the Pirates 5-4. And the Yankees down the Orioles 4-3. NFL injury news. The Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence will miss 6 to 8 weeks after suffering a broken foot in Wednesday's practice. Raiders defensive tackle Jared McCoy is out for the season after suffering a knee injury in Monday's game against the Ravens. And the Browns have ruled out wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. from playing this Sunday against the Houston Texans due to his recovering left knee injury. Rivalry Thursday game tonight. Fulton travels to Gibbs to take on the Gibbs Eagles. Brian Rice and VFL Jason Swain will be on the call. Kickoff is at 7. That can be heard here on FM 99.1 on AM 990. Thursday night football. The Giants will take on the Washington football team. Kickoff of that one is at 8:20. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Technology you need, people you trust. You already know the rest. Been around town forever.
It is time for Upset of the Week. And so for Upset of the Week, each week, we're going to bring on our buddy who dabbles in the numbers more than anybody. You hear us reference him all the time. He is our go-to for all line information, and that is Tyler Wyatt. Tyler, good morning. How are you?
About to play golf, so...
I already know that, well. Dude. You don't rub it in. You already asked me. I can't play. Don't even bring it up again.
You got father duties. That's okay.
Whatever.
So we have Upset of the Week. So here's what we're going to do. Each of us are going to offer our Upset of the Week. You're going to tell us how smart or dumb our picks are. And then if you have one that you want to offer for us, or if you just want to give us the preview of what Tennessee can look for, it's Tennessee Tech, but what Tennessee can look for each week, we will roll with that. I'm going to let Eric give his Upset of the Week first. Eric, who do you have?
I got... Memphis and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's -3. I think Memphis could beat them. Mississippi State doesn't know a whole lot about their team yet. What do you think?
I don't hate it. Memphis finally will have a game where most of their starters are healthy. We saw Mississippi State struggle there in their opener, but this is not one that I'm a huge fan of. I do like the offense in Mississippi State, though. I do think it'll be a shootout, lots of points, and should be a fun game. But I'm not a fan of this one, Ames.
Logan Ward, upset of the week for you.
I'm taking Michigan State over Miami outright now. I already am playing them +7. I got it on Sunday. The line's been back and forth between 6, 6.5. Michigan State runs the ball very well. Miami hasn't looked great on defense or really any side of the ball in their first two games against Alabama and App State. So what do you think?
I actually like this one. Miami opened an 8-point favorite. It's been bet down to 6, 6.5 right now. You can shop around and find a couple of different numbers. I actually have this game handicapped as Michigan State a small favorite. I have Michigan State a 1 or 1.5 point favorite. A lot of value there. So I like this one, Logan. I actually have Michigan State a 59% chance of winning this game. So a ton of value there. Money line right now, you can get Michigan State +2. Derek King's not looked great. He had a little bit of Heisman hype coming in. I think that was out in their opener. But I think there is a ton of value in Michigan State, especially if you got them at 7 or 7.5 as you did. I still like them +6 or 6.5. I think this is a very close game. I actually have Michigan State pulling out a win, projected score 31-30, Sparty.
So I have one that may be completely out of right field, and everybody may say I'm crazy. Indiana is disappointed to this point this year. Cincinnati seems to still have it rolling. But Cincinnati goes to Indiana, and I see the Hoosiers pulling it off. How crazy am I?
You're not crazy at all. This is actually one of my favorite games of the week. I think the line is actually flip-flopped, in my opinion. I think Indiana should be the field goal favorite there right now. Cincinnati, a 3.5 or 4 point favorite on the road. Indiana, bad loss at Iowa. I think they got that out of their system. They played Idaho in week two. Michael Penix looked great. We know that he has a ton of talent. That offense, when it's going, is as good as any in the Big Ten. I think this is a game where Cincinnati struggles. I have Indiana as the favorite. And if I have them as the favorite, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to back them to win the game. I have this 30-27 victory for the Hoosiers.
All right. Well, you gave both of them kudos for their picks, and you told me mine sucks. So I'm giving you another one. What about Auburn and Penn State? Penn State -5.5 was the latest one I saw there. What do you think about that?
I actually love the Tigers and the points here. I do think that Penn State squeaks out a victory. They looked really, really good in that Wisconsin game. It was a tough game to watch, obviously. But I do think Auburn and the points is the right side here. It opened to Penn State -7. All that money the first 3 days went in on Auburn, and rightfully so. I think if you got them at 7, I think you're good there. Auburn has looked really good this year. Granted, it was against Akron. They're not great on the road as underdogs, 2-5. It's a new coaching staff, a lot of turnover and player personnel. Bo Nix has looked really, really good. I like Auburn on the points. I just don't know that they're going to get the win.
So this week we have Tennessee and Tennessee Tech. This is a game against an FBS team. These are always dangerous to the point where some books don't put lines out on them. If people are looking for something right to look at here on Tennessee and Tennessee Tech. What do you say to bettors in these situations?
We actually got a number last night. I think I sent you some numbers back in March and April. You guys were doing a preview, and I had this game Tennessee handicapped with 37, a 37.5-point favorite, and that was before we saw either team play. That number has been adjusted. Superbook opened this one at 41, and I think that's a pretty good number. You're talking about Tech, who's 96th in the FCS power rankings, not the FBS, 96th in the FCS. For transparency, their Vanderbilt's 30th, and Vanderbilt lost to ETSU, who was 30th in the FCS power rankings, to give you an idea. So we've seen upsets before. This is a game where if Tennessee doesn't win by 35 to 40 points and put this game out pretty early in the third, I think we should have reason to be concerned. I don't think that we're going to see this. This is a pretty, pretty poor FCS team, much less, an FBS team. I do think, as you guys were talking earlier, you will see some Harrison Bailey there, probably just on the side of let's not get Hooker hurt. And that's probably going to make the rest of next week and the quarterback conversation a little more interesting. But yeah, this is a game you can't take much for. The team total right now on Tennessee Tech right now is, will they score a touchdown? You can bet Tennessee Tech total points at 6 points or more. I don't think they get in the end zone.
Before we let you go and tee off for today, I wanted to bring something that you and I have talked about off air before. How much do odds makers overvalue things that happen in the first week or two of the season when you get into betting lines in week two, week three, week four?
I would say now probably less than they used to. The data is so real time now that they know when big bets come in, so they can adjust and they don't get made to look like a fool as much as they used to. We've seen bad numbers. The WNBA All-Star game, not a football conversation, but I sent you a message when it came out. I said this is a number that they've absolutely airballed on, and if you guys talked about it, it was off by about 40 points. In football, you don't see it as much, and it's because the guys are so good now. There is so much information out there, so much data, guys that do kind of what I do and scrape and scour the internet to find as much information as possible. They don't jump in knee-jerk like they used to. I think 15, 20 years ago you saw it, and a lot of that was due to, I think, the offense is changing. Now we've seen what teams really want to do offensively, and we're more accustomed to it. But certainly, when there are 60-plus games on a schedule each week, the brightest guys in Vegas are going to mess up every once in a while, and that's what we're here to try to do. We're trying to find and exploit some of those.
Love it. Great stuff.
Hey, real quick, Tyler. Tyler, hey, this is your best friend, Ainge. just so everybody knows, I feel like when I get impressed, I feel like I need to say something about it. We did not send him those games before he came on the air. He did not know what we were going to talk about, and he had all that information about what we brought up. That is insane to me. I need some handicaps on speeding tickets I'm going to get and red light tickets in the next 6 months.
I got a guy.
Between the two of us, I promise we do.
So other people can follow you on Twitter at BetSmartUS. Appreciate the time, and look forward to you joining us for Upset of the Week this football season.
Absolutely. Let's do it again.
Tyler Wyatt, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. So that's fun, right?
Oh, I love Tyler.
That's the encyclopedia of real-time sports number knowledge.
Well, no, you can see why he gets to play golf every day.
That's true.
He knows all that about gambling.
That's true. He's rolling.
It's like, why it is? He's in the hangover. It's not gambling if you know you're going to win.
That's right. In sports, you just have to.
He's over there counting cards.
He's out there, as he said, scouring the world for information.
Oh, yeah.
All the little things. Before we have to find out what we learned today, let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Eric Haines Show.
Hey, guys. Good morning from muggy Central Florida. How y'all doing?
We're good, dude.
Hey, so I know we're up against it. I'll make this quick. I had called the other day and was talking about how I love the coaching staff and the scheme. Receivers are open every play. I'm very comfortable with the staff. Just a couple of quick points maybe to just help everyone relax and let's just see how this whole thing plays out. First off, we scored you know, 30 points our first two games. You guys can do the research for me. I don't know how long it's been since Tennessee has scored 30 points in consecutive games. aside from that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Nick Saban, and obviously I'm not comparing the two coaches, but I believe Nick Saban only won 5 games his first year at Alabama. You guys can double
check. He did, including a loss to Louisiana Monroe.
He was 6-7, right? He went to a bowl game and they lost? Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, Saban only won 5 his first year, had that embarrassing loss to Monroe. And, you know, we scored 30 points our first two games. Let's just pump the brakes on the panic button, see how this thing plays out. And if you guys don't mind, if you could tell me real quick when the last time we scored 30 points in consecutive games was, maybe everybody will just start calming down and let's just see how this whole thing shows.
Well, I hate to tell you, Kevin, it was last year. Tennessee scored 31 on opening night against South Carolina, 35 against Missouri, did not score in the 30s again until the 42-17 win over Vanderbilt. There was a marked drop-off after week 2 for Tennessee.
Okay, well then, so there you go. I guess that's how bad it was last year. We just forgot that little fact.
Now, before that,
everybody just needs to calm down and look. Everybody, you clamoring for Harrison Bailey. I mean, it's just like you guys said. It's only because you know he hasn't seen the field. The coaches know what he can do. They know what he can't do. Real quick, and I'll jump off. I remember going to a game with my dad when Andy Kelly was quarterback and Shuler was the backup. I don't remember the game, but Kelly had a horrible day. Everybody in the crowd was yelling for Shuler. They put Shuler in. His first pass, he throws an interception, and everybody starts yelling to put Kelly back in. You know, I mean, you got to trust the coaches. They know more than we do. And that's all I got, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Kevin, we appreciate it. Great stuff.
It doesn't mean coaches are always right.
No, absolutely not.
But they're always doing what they do for the right reason. So it's kind of like I feel like with any position battle or anything going on, like if we don't understand it, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means we don't understand it and we don't have all the information to. I know Harrison Bailey's cleanup sheet at practice needs to be shorter or he'll never get in the game.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
You want to know what a scary stat? Okay, so sure. He asked when the last time we scored 30 in back-to-back games was.
When?
Last year, right? Uh-oh. Told you that.
Yeah.
First two games of the year. Prior to that, the last time Tennessee scored 30 points in back-to-back games, first two games of the 2017 season, 42-41 over Georgia Tech, 42-7 Indiana State.
Stop giving stats now.
Starting the season with back-to-back 30-point games is not it, apparently.
Beep. Stop giving stats.
We find out what we learned today next on the Hurricane Show. Up. Thanks to Image Matters. I'll get a baseball bat, Eric.
Get whatever you got to get, man. Right. You got to do what you got to do. Is it time for us to find out what we learned today?
It is. We did not talk about, because we had a question at the end of the second hour, and for those of you who don't know, particularly with the show going to the Tri-Cities, we have a hard time where if we don't stop talking at the end of each hour, the station just cuts off and it goes to commercial anyway.
There's a cool hand signal I get from the boys when I'm yapping.
Yeah.
And there's a hard out time. Shut up, Ace.
So, it wasn't your fault. We were talking and then caller had a great question. Coaching up Harrison Bailey, if coaching up Jeremy Banks has produced these results, does Harrison Bailey have a significantly higher ceiling, maybe not this year, but as the years go on, now that he's getting good coaching?
I would imagine so. I mean, like, literally, he had the worst quarterback coach in college football last year. I know, like, I couldn't even be nice about Chris Winkie, like, after a while. Like, even during the year last year, I got fed up with it. And anyway, that's why I don't think you saw any of the quarterbacks really ever get better. Quarterback coaching matters. I of all people know that. And I think Harrison Bailey's ceiling has not changed from the high caliber recruit he was. That has not changed. He's younger and he doesn't run and he needs to be even better at the passing stuff. Or how could you justify putting him in? if he's just as good of a passer and defensive reader of coverage as the other guys, you still put the other guys in because they can run. And then you clean up the couple read things they have. Harrison Bailey has to be better than them in practice or he won't play. And when he gets an opportunity to play, yeah, he could ball out. If Milton can't play and Hooker's hurt or plays terrible or something, like, well, we don't know what he's going to do, but let's put him out there. They do not want to do that. No coach wants to do that, especially with a guy who played a little bit because he had to last year, played okay at times, completed some balls, but against really, really good teams where it's tight coverage and there's pressure in your face, he struggled. So I would imagine part of that is we think this guy could be really, really good someday. I don't want to ruin him by putting him in here if things aren't going the way we want to. Mm-hmm. That's not a good position for a quarterback to come into, especially when you don't run. And our O-line's okay. They're not bad. They're getting better. But when we play good football teams, if you're a pocket standing in the bucket throwing the ball guy, then you better be even better at seeing coverage and reading defenses and being accurate and making all the throws, because you have guys rushing you, getting to you, and they have way more guys in the back end to try to cover your guy. It's just that is not, even as a veteran quarterback for me in college, I could remember games, but we could not block them. And guess what? We didn't win. I played okay in both of them. I think it was all right, but I was doing a lot of stuff very, very well as a quarterback, and we played those teams, and there's just nothing you can do. For me, there won't be for Harrison Bailey. The other guys add an element. I understand why they want to have an element. And if you want to beat them out, I'm just going to keep saying it. If you're that much of a baller, they tailor the system to you. Matt Corral at Ole Miss. You know, they do what they need to. But he also is a great athlete. And there wasn't anybody older.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get that. We watch guys stand on the bench, and then someday they play, and you're like, why has he been on the bench this whole time? Well, he's a pocket quarterback, and he's not as good in practice. I'm sorry. That is that simple. I don't know how he'll play. I look forward to him getting in the game. I want him to be good. I hope everybody hears that. I would love nothing more than Harrison Bailey to be so good that when they put him out there, they never can take him back out because he's that good. That is a perfect situation.
Agreed.
I don't know that it presents itself anytime soon. That's why I'm saying if I were them, I'd put him in early against Tech. See if you can see if some of those things he messes up in practice, when it's live, see if he can see it. See if he does it right.
Because I go back to the Joe Milton example. We talked after week one how he wasn't good enough in being decisive and all that because he had forever to throw. So he was trying to set up the big play and failed.
Yeah.
When Pitt got a pass rush on him, what happened? He was perfect 7 for 7 on short and intermediate routes. He's got to clean up the deep ball, but maybe pressure helps Harrison Bailey clean it up. It doesn't help a lot of people clean it up. Sometimes it does. I think Joe Milton's executing it better in practice, too. That's why they had confidence of what
Joe Milton
saw.
He's executing everything else pretty dang good. You know, and he got better week, but to your point, week one to week two, he cleaned a lot of stuff up. He just has one glaring problem that
is a huge problem.
If Joe Milton is on the bench, it's because Joe Milton put himself on the bench.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
These things always work themselves out.
Quickly, what else did we learn today?
Logan, you got anything for us?
Josh Heupel spoke to the media, and he did not name a starting quarterback, contrary to popular belief that he would.
No.
I learned that if you're in a crash, you should not call your wife to come crash her car into your car.
Yeah, especially if you blow a 0.28 and she blows a 0.22. That's not. I did learn today that I went 3 for 3 in Florida, Alabama, Georgia,
yeah,
and Scott
Aka
from Image Matters dominated too. Sucks to suck, Ward.
Hush.
Sucks to suck.
I learned Dean House, Luttrell, Tennessee, you should be ashamed of the way you speak to people. Oh, and yeah. I learned that we will be at Rusty Wallace Honda tomorrow. Looking forward to being at the intersection of selection.
Woo!
We'll see you then, Logan. Thank you. Big thanks to Image Matters. ImageMattersInc.com for everything for your business, for your printing and workflow solutions. Thanks, Image Matters. We'll see you tomorrow on the air.